I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. God bless you for coming out this morning to meet together to worship God. For a message this morning, I'd like to ask the question, can we have the confidence of eternal life / being saved / assurance of salvation? Different terms that can be used for that. Do you have that confidence this morning? Just recently we talked about this subject just a little bit at Shepherd's Fold, and I had prayed that God would reveal to me what I should speak on, and I feel God revealed this to me and showed me that this is a subject that I could share with you this morning. Can we have the confidence of eternal life? This morning, if you were looking for a title, one of the titles I had is Stop Guessing, but I didn't know if I liked that one good enough. So here's another one that's maybe a little more professional if you want it. Are you sure of eternal life? Are you sure of eternal life? There's three different groups of people this morning that I'd just like to talk about briefly before getting into this message. There's a group that believes that we cannot know whether we are saved, but rather, we can only hope that we can make it to heaven. We only have that hope. We hope. We're just not sure about that. And this belief may be supported from phrases in the Bible such as Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. And I understand we do live in the flesh and we struggle with faith, and we see through a glass darkly. And I'm not here to undermine someone with weak faith. But the Bible, when taken in context, gives us more confidence in just hoping. Gives us more confidence in that. And if I could give you a text verse this morning, it would be 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And we'll come back to that chapter after a while and read that passage. There's another group of people who take assurance of eternal life to the other extreme. They believe that salvation is found in accepting Christ, and once that person has made a lip profession of Christ, there's nothing a person can do to take his assurance of salvation away from him. And they probably may get their belief from verses in Romans 10, verse 9, that says, confess and believe, and thou shalt be saved. In Romans 8, 31 through 39, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. But again, when the Bible is taken in context, it teaches us that we can lose our salvation by choice. Thirdly, there's another group of people that believe that salvation is determined by God, therefore men are predestinated to be saved or lost. And man cannot choose either, because God has that all planned, so there's nothing you can do about it. And they may have their roots in Ephesians chapter 1 or Romans 8, 29 through 30 or other such similar places. But again, when the Bible is taken in context, it teaches us that man can choose his destination. John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So this morning, the goal of the message, I would like to confirm what the Bible teaches us in regards to assurance of salvation. I have a few points with a lot of scripture reading. It was very difficult for me to organize this message because various thoughts are intertwined in the same passages, and you can pull a thought out, but the other thought remains there. And time again, we will overlap with scripture reading that will emphasize and re-emphasize our different points that we plan to look at. First of all, I'd like to begin by just looking at some of the promises of God in the Bible. You can turn with me to your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'd like to read verses 25 through 29. Notice the promise that we have here in the Word of God. How can we know that we have eternal life? John chapter 10 and verse 25. Here Jesus is speaking. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What I would like for you to do right now is just grab a hold of that promise, okay? That's the focus right here. There's different things we could discuss about this, but we notice especially in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. This is his sheep. This is the followers of Jesus. It's his disciples. And the disciples of Christ can take a hold of this promise as a comfort. Now I'd like you to turn over just a couple pages to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, a very familiar passage. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, the way it words it like this, it says, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. But we have the assurance that he's coming again because in Acts chapter 2, the disciples on Mount Olives seen Jesus descend up into heaven. And then confirmed by the angels came and stood by them and said, as you've seen Jesus go up, he's going to come back in like manner. And so we have this comfort. We have this promise that Jesus will come back to receive us to himself if we believe in him. Again, the focus is the promise. And we could turn back to Hebrews chapter 9. I'd like to read a verse from there. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. It's talking of Jesus. And by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And this is referring to the Old Testament saints. When Christ came and he died, he made a way that the Old Testament saints could receive this promise of eternal life. So we with them have the promise of eternal life. Now, I'd like to look at seven tests. Of how we can know that we have eternal life. But before that, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'd like to turn to John chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5. And I'd like to read this passage. And from this passage are almost all of my points that I'd like to look at, but I'm not going to stick in this passage. I'm going to simply read this passage, maybe pull some thoughts from it. But I'm going to look at the rest of the Word of God and bring us along with some of the points that I have on how we can have the confidence of eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. I'd like to read the chapter. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we asked, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that ye shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Seven tests. How can we know that we have eternal life? How can we have the assurance that we're saved? Number one is belief in Jesus. And from this passage we see that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that believeth Jesus has overcome the world. And he that overcometh the world believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's very clear. You need a belief in Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of our belief. Matthew 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Very clear. Let's turn to John chapter 6. I'd like to read a few verses to amplify this, to clarify this point. We're talking about belief in Jesus right now. I'm bringing the focus to that with this point. John chapter 6, I'm just going to pick out three verses from this passage. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And verse 54, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. Notice, believing in Christ is how we get saved. The Bible is very clear on that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Actually, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I like to read verses 8 through 13. I'm sorry. Yeah, 8 through 13. Romans 10, 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, we see belief, we see confession. But believing in Jesus, this is how we can have the assurance that we're saved. If you know you've made a personal commitment to Christ, that is one of the steps. Belief in Jesus and confessing your sin and coming to God, coming to Christ, and in repentance. Calling on God through confession and repentance saves us. Believing in Jesus. Number two, the witness of the Spirit. This is another way, another test that we can know that we're saved. The witness of the Spirit in our life. I'm going to end up in Romans chapter 8, but I'm just going to go back here to 1 John 5 and just pull out verse 6. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. In verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. All right, I'd like to go to Romans 8 now. There's quite a few verses I'd like to read from this passage to help us understand the witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, I like to begin at verse 1. And this also covers some of the rest of my points. It's very entwined. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The witness of the Spirit. There is no condemnation. In verse 1 in chapter 8. Peace in the heart regarding our relationship with God. The guilty feeling is gone. Condemnation and fear gets replaced with crying, Abba, Father. Verse 9, the Spirit of God dwells within us and quickens us. The Spirit of life makes us free from the law of sin and death and gives us power over sin so that we can please God. Verse 14, the Spirit of God leads us. He directs our thoughts and our ways toward God and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and joint heirs of God, and we will be glorified together. What a promise. How can we know? The witness of the Spirit. Number 3, how can we know that we're saved? A changed life. Back in 1 John chapter 5, it says in verse 18, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Whosoever is born of God doesn't continue to sin. And Romans 8 brought that out very, very clear as well. Walking in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. And I believe a changed life gives evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit. If we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are children of God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. A few verses I like to read from. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, I'm not going to take time to focus on this big list, but we see the difference. One is very sinful, and one is very holy. The holy actions, unholy actions, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But we know that holy actions will. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So how do we know? Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. A changed life is a confirmation of assurance of salvation. We're saved. Number 4, another test How can we know that we're saved? It's by loving God and loving each other. 1 John chapter 5 talked about love. It directed it more in loving God and keeping his commandments, which we'll look at briefly. But I'd like if you could turn to 1 John chapter 3. That's right before the few pages before John chapter 5. Let's read what the Bible has about love in here. 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I think I'll stop there. We know we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. Just turn over to 1 John 4 and verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In verse 20 and 21, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Another test to know that we have assurance of salvation is whether we love the brethren. We have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Fifthly, another test is keeping God's commandments. If we keep his commandments, if we love God, we keep his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, If ye love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I shall love him and will manifest myself to him. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but if you turn to Matthew 25, there where Jesus is dividing the sheep from the goats, they were judged by their works. The one group, God said, you can come into heaven because you've clothed the naked, you've visited the sick, and so on. And the other group, he said, you didn't have these actions, you can't come in. It's another test if we have assurance of salvation, if we keep God's commandments. Sixthly, another test is self-denial and cross-bearing. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Here Jesus was talking to a young man who wanted to know how he could inherit eternal life. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said again, after he had a conversation with his disciples, the disciples could hardly believe, well, who can get to heaven? And Jesus says in verse 29, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life. See that? Self-denial and cross-bearing, and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus was once talking to the young rich ruler in John chapter 12. No, it was Luke 18. And I believe it must have been this one. Maybe I got two references crossed. But John chapter 12, I like to read a verse from John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 25 brings my point out some more. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So we notice here that here's a test. Self-denial and cross-bearing is a test to know whether we have eternal life. And seventhly, another test is continued faithfulness. If you would go back to 1 John chapter 5, it would say at the end, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why? Because there's a possibility that we could turn away from God to idols. I like to read from 1 John chapter 2. There's a few verses I like to read. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. So we need whatever we've heard about the gospel, we need to keep it abiding in us. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul is writing, and he's telling us to fight the battle, I believe. And he's saying, flee, follow and fight, because the Christian life is something that needs to be continued on in. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so we see a test of assurance is continued faithfulness. And so as we put scripture together, we see that we need to believe in Jesus. We have the witness of the Spirit. We need to amplify a changed life. We need to have love to God and others. We need to keep God's commandments. There's going to be self-denial and cross-bearing, but there's continued faithfulness. And if you've passed these tests, then you can have the confidence of eternal life. And if you've failed this test, then you have an opportunity to amend your ways, believe in Christ, and follow what the Bible has laid out, and you will receive the promise of eternal life. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.